Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
803-0550. We'll get to your calls on Football Friday. We'll get to our Wester Hotline. John Murphy is standing by. Brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. Good morning, Mr. Murphy. Congratulations on your big night last night. John was part of the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame Class of 2019. They were all honored last night, including our colleague here, Don Tomasulo. Congratulations, Murph.
Thanks, Howard. Yeah, it was great. And great to be with Donnie. He's a great guy I've known for many years, and he got a nice warm reception last night. He's one of everybody's favorites.
Do you get a closer parking spot at work now? What are the perks that come with being a Hall of Famer? Is it?
That has not come across yet.
Okay.
I'll look for that. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Murph, last week when we had you on, I think I had talked about really feeling confident about that game against the Giants for a number of reasons. What about Sunday's matchup? What are your feelings about this matchup against the 0-2 Bengals?
Well, I mean, look, there are reasons to be confident. The Bills have played better than the Bengals. I think the Bills are more talented than the Bengals, but I think the Bills are going to have to play well to win. Look, Cincinnati's a desperate team at 0-2. They are proficient in the passing game, number two passing attack in the league. They do have weapons, John Ross and Tyler Boyd and a good tight end and Tyler Eifert. And I think Joe Mixon is better than he's played. He's been kind of awful the first couple of weeks for them. So they have weapons. They can do something, but I think the Bills are better. I think the Bengals might be the best and the most talented team the Bills have faced so far this year. And that tells you something. The Bills won their first game against the Jets by just 1 point. So the Bills have to stick to business, keep doing what they did last week, and they get out of here with a win on Sunday.
Yeah, it's funny. I agree. You know, you look at we've been talking about the skill positions for the Bengals. Really good. But I think there are so many other – and they're having a lot of issues on the defensive side of the ball. When you look at this matchup, Murph, overall, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, whatever, where do you think are the most favorable matchups for the Bills come Sunday?
Well, Cincinnati's got some real issues on the offensive line health-wise, right? They're plugging people in. They had to re-sign Andre Smith, their former first-rounder, who they brought back, and he did not play well, and then he came up with a bit of an injury yesterday. Cordy Glenn has yet to play this year. I think that might be the best matchup for the Bills, and I think there's much more to come from the Buffalo defensive front. I think they can I think they will be able to get after the passer and put some pressure on Dalton in this game, and I think they'll probably dial up some pressure, too, because of the uncertainty on the offensive line. To me, that would be the most favorable matchup for the Bills. And if you ask me that question the rest of the season, I'll probably tell you it will be on the defensive side of the ball because the Bills, I think, are a really, really good defense this year, even better than last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I think if you look at this matchup, you know, we can talk about their running backs, Murph and John Ross and Tyler Boyd. They're both having a good start to their season. Tyler Eifert's back. But it's hard to get past up front, and that's an area they're struggling on the offensive line. You would think the way the Bills have looked, not just the starters, the reserves that are coming in. Harrison Phillips had a big game last week. Their ability to get pressure, to bat down passes, the push they're getting should bode well on Sunday for the Bills.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you talked to them about the knockdown passes, and it's good. It's a sign of success, but they also think, well, we got to turn some of these into sacks, you know, and they're up against a couple of offenses so far, and I think they'll be up against another offense on Sunday. They want to get rid of the ball, a lot of three-step drop, a lot of West Coast-style offensive concepts, which means it'll be hard to get sacked. So the hands will be up, and the passes will probably be knocked down again this week.
If Trey White plays, would we expect to see him up against John Ross as much as possible?
I don't know about that. That'll be something to watch. You know, they've gone both ways with Trey White in his career so far, right? Sometimes they match him up against the opponent's best receiver. Sometimes they just play left and right.
Yep.
That's a good question. I'm not sure which way they would go in this case. The threat of John Ross's speed, deep downfield speed, and I think that might be, you know, it's not like he's a big body or a big physical receiver, so it might be easier to defend that than it would be against a guy who's you know, for instance, A.J. Green, who won't play. You know what I'm saying? That would be a better matchup for anybody, I think, you know, at least in terms of a challenge. So I'll have to keep an eye on that. I'm not sure how they will play John Ross.
Murph, I was looking at your storylines earlier this week at BuffaloBills.com, and one of the things you brought up was John Brown. And I think we all knew that he and Beasley would definitely have an impact on this offense. I'm not sure you could have drawn up the first two games much better than what we've seen from John Brown, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a conversation that Tasker and I had on the air in training camp about, you know, you go to camp and you think, well, one of the questions, well, who's the number one receiver? Well, it turns out they have a number one receiver, and his name is John Brown, and I think he's played the role really well through two games, right? 10 targets each game. I think it was 10 each game, maybe 9 last week, 7 catches in each game, and they're not just deep, you know, speed routes from smoke. It's all over the field. And, good, reliable hands, and I think he is the top target in the passing game right now. And Beasley, if Brown is target number one, Beasley is 1A, you know, because he's got a whole entirely different role to play, and he plays it very well. I'm surprised by a lot, pleasantly surprised by a lot of what they've done on offense through two games. Offensive line would be number one, but the good play of those two in particular, Brown and Beasley, I think is my second biggest surprise of the offense. And again, a very pleasant surprise. I wasn't sure about that going into the year.
I think it's interesting, Murph. Those two guys, if you look at it, you know, you look at the receivers that are back from last year, and Zay Jones had a really good step last year, right? He improved from year one to year two, and people, I think, were really excited about what they saw from Robert Foster the last half of last year, and even Isaiah McKenzie and what he could provide for the offense. And really, I know McKenzie got the touchdown last week, but those three guys, you haven't heard much from them. And I don't think it's as much an indictment about them as it is a statement about how the upgrade in talent has made the difference. It's more about Brown and Beasley. I think other guys that were in key roles have now been kind of pushed to the background of the passing offense.
Yeah, they got better. You know, they got better at that position. They got better on the offensive line, and we saw the same thing with many of those last year players being, you know, off the roster now. But they definitely got better at the wide receiver spot. The one thing I would say is it's still very early in the season, and I think they seem to have a knack. Brian Daboll seems to have a knack for kind of a varied approach every game. Yeah. So I would not rule out games down the line where Zay Jones has a more prominent role to play, or Robert Foster, or Isaiah McKenzie, for that matter. I think they will probably use the entire roster before it's all said and done. And if they get Andre Roberts back, which they may, that'll make it even more interesting at wide receiver. But you're right, they got better around those returning wide receivers from a year ago, and that's why their snaps have been limited. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if it'll stay that way.
No, it's funny. I think you're right. One of the things I was going to ask Sean McDermott about when he's on with us next hour is what you basically just touched on. There's a versatility to the offense now that I think allows Brian Daboll more of an opportunity to create matchup-specific game plans. I mean, he couldn't do that last year. But now, not just the wide receivers, Murph, that we talked about, but the tight ends, the more athletic offensive linemen. If you're Daboll, I think you can actually now attack the other teams a little better than you could have last year and change up from week to week what your plan is and who's going to be an integral part of that plan.
Yeah, he has weapons, right? He's probably thinking, how did I do this last year without these weapons? That thought might occur to him, although he never admitted. But, yeah, he's got buttons to push now, buttons that he did not have a year ago. And I think it's provided some, you know, second half of the Jets game and the entire game last Sunday, it's provided some really good production offensively. They need to keep that going.
All right, Murph, we'll be listening for the call on Sunday. As always, thanks for joining us, and we'll chat about it with you on Bills Football Monday.
Okay, great. Thank you, Hart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.